Today's lesson is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 on page 1180 in your pew Bibles. Colossians 3, 12 to 15, and who would like to read this morning? Robin?
So let those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against you. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, it is indeed sweet to trust in Jesus. And we thank you for the faith that you've given us to believe in Him as our Savior, as our Lord, that He did indeed die on the cross for our sins and was raised again on the third day to new life. Father, thank you for placing your Holy Spirit within us to seal us for the day of redemption, as well as to give us everything that we need for life and godliness. So I pray now that you would indeed fill us all with your Holy Spirit, that we would see in your word, your truth, your wisdom, your grace, your love, your mercy, to draw us closer to Jesus and to trust him more. All to your praise, honor, and glory. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we took a look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. And let me just go over a little something of that. In these verses, Paul talks about our previous life outside of Christ and what that looked like, as well as the new life that we now have in Christ. And then in verse 10, he says, "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all." God, through his Holy Spirit, is renewing us each day of our lives to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take a look at some more verses here today to help us to understand what that looks like. And so I've entitled my message, "What to Wear Each Day." And it doesn't have anything to do with clothes. So I'm not going to help you with that one. That's between you and God. It has to be decent. But here's what Paul has to say in regards to this new life that we now have in Christ. Beginning in verse 3, he said, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." One of the first things that Paul talks about is who we are in Christ, and it is so important for us to know that. So the first thing he says about us, those of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are those who have been chosen of God. Chosen of God, Paul says, even before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's a passage of Scripture that boggles the mind, it's that one. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. He knew that we were going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a blessing that is. He chose us. We are His chosen ones. Secondly, we are His holy ones. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to imagine that as well. But that's what the word saint means. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We are holy unto God. So we are chosen by God, and we are God's holy ones. Then we are also His beloved. One of the things that I found in my research this past week is not only did Paul use this term as an expression for the believers in Jesus, but also the writer of Hebrews, James, Peter, John, and Jude. And on certain occasions, he would even use the expression, dearly beloved. I probably have told you this before, but I think it bears repeating, that I can remember that when I was doing weddings for years, the traditional way to start out is, dearly beloved, we are gathered together in this place to join this man and this woman in holy matrimony. Well, then all of a sudden, as I was studying the expression, dearly beloved, all of a sudden it dawned on me that that's just for the believers in Jesus. So then I changed my opening to, dearly beloved family and friends, because that incorporates all who have been gathered together. I don't know about you, I have never been to a wedding where everyone is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can't use that expression because it applies particularly to the believers in Jesus. So we are chosen by God before the foundation of the world. We are holy in His sight because of Jesus. And we are His dearly beloved. And one of the things I've also said before, and I think it bears repeating too, if we are suffering from low self-esteem, that is not God's fault. Read about who you are in Him. Chosen before the foundation of the world. Holy and beloved of God. What a blessing. So in light of all of that, and who we are in the eyes of God in Christ, we are now called by God to put on the following. First of all, a heart of compassion. Now, as I was looking up this word in the Greek, William Vine, in his Greek Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, said that this compassion is a compassion for the ills of others. Now, that can be in regards to salvation, as well as into needs within the body of Christ. Like our Father and Savior, we are to have a heart of compassion for the lost as well as those needs within the body of Christ. Here's what we read in Matthew 9:36. Seeing the people, He, that is Jesus, felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. So many people today are like sheep without a shepherd. Not only those outside of the body of Christ, but sometimes even within the body of Christ. And so we are to be compassionate like the Lord Jesus Christ over lost souls, as well as the needs of those within the body of Christ. That's the first thing we are to put on, compassion. Secondly, we are to put on a heart of kindness. We read in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, where Jesus also said to His disciples, "But love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men." Now, I don't know about you, but that really got my attention. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself, kind to ungrateful and evil men. I mean, think about Him on the cross after He has been crucified, and He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." Think about that. Kind to ungrateful and evil men. Anybody know any ungrateful and evil men and women, boys and girls that are out there? We face them all the time. Sometimes in family, sometimes in friends, sometimes in the neighborhood, at work, at school, at play, they're out there. And so we are reminded again, like the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to put on a heart of kindness, and especially to those who are ungrateful and evil. Can you see where grace helps us to do all of this? Because in our sinful, fleshly nature, we're going to pick and choose who we're kind to. More often than not, we're going to be kind to those who are kind to us. We're going to love those who love us. But again, we are to have a heart of compassion and kindness like the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we are to put on humility. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Just going back a book, Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. And that's on page 1175 in your pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition, Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I don't think any of us can really understand what Jesus did. Going from the glories of heaven to the cesspool of earth to become one like us, to die on a cross for our sins, even though we didn't deserve it, to redeem us, to save us, to give us eternal life. He humbled himself even to the point of death. So we are to put on the humility of Christ. What does that look like? Look at verse 3 again. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourself. Think about that. Other people are more important than we are. You've heard of the acronym JOY, Jesus, Others, You. We live in a me, myself, and I world, don't we? I think I've said this before, too. It's amazing if you go into the library or just look in a magazine rack. Magazines like Self, Us, People. It's all about us. But here's what the Word of God says, and here's what the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about others. Look at verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Wow. Not only are other people more important than we are, but we're to look not to our own interests, but to the interests of others. What can I do for you? How can I help you? Remember, Jesus came to serve. So we are called to be His servants. Maybe I mentioned this once before, too, when I was on the nominating committee of our conference years ago, and asking people to be a part of a committee was like pulling teeth. And then one day I went up to a brother by the name of Dave Gilbert. Dave Gilbert from North Carolina. I went up to Dave and I said, "Brother Dave, we would like you to be on the nominating committee." And he was right by the pool. He said, "Brother Doug, I'd be honored to." I almost fell in the pool. And I probably would have drowned, because I can't swim. But I was so blessed by that. He was there to serve. I don't know how many times when, you know, I've been around people and asked them to serve, it's like they come up with every reason in the book why they can't serve. I remember once asking somebody to do something 3 months ahead, and they said, "I think I'm going to be busy." How do you know that? At least we should be able to say, "I'll pray about it." And then pray about it. And if God is leading you to do that, then do that. Remember when the credentials committee of the conference, all of a sudden the chairman decided to retire from that position. And there I was with all the other guys looking around the table, and each one of us thinking, "I hope the other guy volunteers to do that." And two of them had already done that. And it was down to two of us. And one of them said, "My wife will kill me if I take this on." So I asked my wife, and she said, get this, pray about it. Oh! So, I'm now in my fourth year as the chairman of the Credentials Committee because God called me to do that, and I'm glad to serve in that particular position. But again, humility. Every day we ought to be asking, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? I mentioned this before, too. Old Esther out at the Hartford Care Center there, she'd get up every morning. She'd say, Lord, what's my assignment for today? I mean, again, if we're thinking about Him and we're thinking about others, we're not thinking about the schedule that we've set up for today. While that is important, and it's important to be disciplined, we need to be open to the fact that God might have a different schedule for us, and we need to be ready to go where He wants us to go, do what He wants us to do, and say what He wants us to say. Thinking about Him and thinking about others in humility. So we're called to put on compassion. We're called to put on kindness. We're called to put on humility. Fourthly, we're called to be gentle. The King James uses the word meekness. I think we can probably relate more to gentleness. But take a look at Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And that's on page 1194 in your pew Bibles. Titus 3, 1 to 8. I love this. Remind them, guess what he has to remind them about? To be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Anybody else need to be reminded about that every day? Especially when you're not too crazy about the rulers that you have and what they're doing and what they've done lately and what they're going to be doing. We need to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. And again, the only out in regards to that is whether they ask you to do something contrary to the will of God. And then Peter says, we must obey God rather than men. But look at this in verse 2. To malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration or meekness for all men. To malign no one, to speak evil of no one. Think about your government officials. Anybody been speaking evil of them of late? Or over the last 6 years? That's not Christ. To malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration, get this, not for some men, not just some that we like or that like us and do all the things that we want them to do. So showing every consideration for all men. Wow. We're also once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. I don't know about you, but I love this that Paul gives a contrast of our new life in Christ, and then he goes back, hey, remember what you used to be? Remember where this used to be, your everyday character and lifestyle and attitude? But look at verse 4. It's a great verse. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not only on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In other words, we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus and not by our good works. Paul just keeps hammering that over and over again. And you know, I thought it was kind of interesting. We studied this on Thursday in talking about Revelation 21 and 22. Do you know the interesting thing about it is John, not Paul, but John, the last verse in the Bible is, "And the grace of the Lord Jesus be upon you." What a great way to end the Word of God, with the grace of God. That's what people need. And that's what, as believers, we need to sustain us until we get to go home. But then look at verse 8 of Titus 3. "This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men." In other words, we are to be careful to engage in good deeds led by the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, we need to be subject to rulers, to authorities, be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. This is the Word of God. You know, the interesting thing about it is, and probably you know this, the Ten Commandments are now the ten options. And even for believers, all the commands of God, sometimes we treat them as options. This is the Word of God. This is God speaking to us through His Holy Spirit and showing us and reminding us who Christ is, who we are in Him, and that we are to model His behavior and His character, to be a light. So we're to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Here's the one everybody hates: patience. That also means long suffering. I don't know about you, I'd rather have patience than long suffering. But then the Word of God reminds us that it is tribulation that makes us patient. Long suffering. No one wants that. But the interesting thing about it is, and it was good to hear the testimony again of the persecuted church, we have no idea what long-suffering is, do we? Matter of fact, I was talking with Brother Jim this morning about some of the sufferings that we go through, and then we were talking about the Apostle Paul, and you go through the long list of what he went through, and we don't have a clue. But you know, the interesting thing about it, we have the same Holy Spirit living within us that the Apostle Paul did as well. And so if we were called to be persecuted, tortured, even unto death, we ought to be able to do that with joy and thanksgiving because of what Christ has done for us. And we have the power and the ability to endure greatly for Jesus. Then look at verse 13. Bearing with one another. That also means enduring with one another. Hey, we're a family. Everyone has a family. Sometimes you have to bear with each other. Sometimes you have to endure with each other. Sometimes you have to put up with each other. But see, we can only do that with the grace of God. I don't know about you, but we had a pretty good family growing up. My dad wasn't around, so that wasn't good. But the interesting thing about it was, I had an uncle, my mom's brother, kind of adopted us. He had a pool. We didn't drive, so he'd come down, pick us up, take us up to the pool. And, of course, I couldn't swim. That didn't really mean a lot to me. But the interesting thing about it, we were a family until something happened, and then all of a sudden, we weren't a family anymore. Somebody got mad at somebody, and somebody got mad at somebody else, and then boom, we were not a family anymore. Now, we can expect that for unbelievers. But for believers, we should be able to get along. No matter what. And from my personal experience, when that doesn't happen, it's only because certain individuals have a certain agenda. And maybe their feelings get hurt, and as a result of that, rather than talk about it and try to make reconciliation and peace, oftentimes off they go. And that is so sad because, again, that is not what the body of Christ is supposed to be as a family. And so we have to bear with one another and forgive each other. You know, sometimes I think we're waiting around for somebody else to come and tell us that they're sorry about what they did to us. But we need to take the initiative, if we've wronged somebody, to go to them and ask them for forgiveness as well. We need to remember. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Do you notice here that Paul always comes back to Christ? Because it is all about Christ. It's not about us. It's about Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so as a result of that, as we put on Christ and we put on more of Christ, we become more compassionate, kind, humble, gentle, patient. We can bear with each other. We can forgive each other. And look at this. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You got a complaint against somebody? Go and talk with them about it. And if they've wronged you, then forgive them. That's what the Word of God says. Then in verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now again, the word here is agape. This is all about grace. This is God's love. It's not philia, which is the friendship kind of love. It's not eros, which is the sexual kind of love. This is agape. This is God's love. Which, let me remind you again, gives us the ability to love everyone equally and unconditionally at all times. Wow. Think about that again from God's perspective. He didn't have to save us. He could have sent us all to hell, and He would have been right and just to do that as sinners. But because of His love for us, He sent His Son to die for us. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. We see that in Christ. And now as a result of that, He has placed within us that same love. Love for the lost. Love for each other in the body of Christ. And especially love for God in Christ. He says, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now, I looked that word up in the Greek, and I really couldn't find an equivalent of it. King James uses the word the bond of perfectness or completeness. And I didn't realize this, but looking in William MacDonald's commentary, he said the Gnostics of the day thought of knowledge as the bond of perfection. In other words, they thought the more knowledge that you had, the better off you would be. But Paul reminds us that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So there it is again, the grace of God. We can claim to be smart, but know nothing. You know, it's interesting. Just think about all of the intellectuals that you know, or all of those who have really gone to the top of the heap in business. Most of them are without Christ. Most of them are boasting about their own accomplishments, what they have done, what their company has done, what a blessing they are to so many people all over the world, providing jobs and resources and income. But as the Lord reminds us, you can't take it with you. And what would it be if a man would forfeit his own soul, have everything, and then forfeit his own soul? And that's where a lot of people are. But again, we are to love them. We are to pray for them. We're not to be jealous of them. As God gives us the opportunity, then we are to share Christ with all. And then in verse 15, he closes with sort of a benediction here. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We are to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. First of all, Scripture tells us that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5, verse 1. That is salvation. Secondly, we can then have the peace of God that passes all understanding to keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. That is sanctification. So we have peace with God in salvation. And then we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding in sanctification. And I love this, to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. If our hearts and our minds are not in Christ Jesus, we will not have peace. Up until about 2 weeks ago, nobody knew, or at least I didn't, who Tim Howard was. Who can tell me who Tim Howard is? Bob? The goalie for the American team. He had an outstanding performance in the World Cup just a couple of days ago. But let me share a little something about this Tim Howard that I did not know. In an interview with Kerry Dedrick of ChristianHeadlines.com, Americans cannot stop talking about Tim Howard after the Tuesday's World Cup match against Belgium. Despite the heartbreaking loss, the star goalkeeper kept hopes alive, making a record-breaking 16 saves throughout the game. But it seems that Howard is not just a world-renowned soccer player, he is also a Christian. In an interview with Campus Crusade for Christ, Howard said, "The most important thing in my life is Jesus Christ. He's more important to me than winning or losing or whether I'm playing or not. Everything else is just a bonus. All praise be to God." While Howard played for Manchester United, he assisted with a church youth group. "The best time for me is when I see a breakthrough in them, to see them get a grasp of what God and Christ really mean," he said. In an article for Athletes in Action, Howard wrote of the peace his faith gives him. "Today I am blessed to be living a dream, and yet if it all went away tomorrow, I know I would still have peace. That probably sounds crazy to most people, but that's the kind of peace Christ gives. It is rooted in His love, and it surpasses all understanding, and you can experience the same sense of love and peace too." Wow. Now, I'm sure you've all heard of Christian athletes before, and certainly time will be a test of whether or not he's the real deal or not. But the interesting thing about it is, he says all the right things based on the Word of God. It's not about him. It's about Jesus. And it's all about the peace that God has given him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says in verse 15, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." In other words, take over, live there, so that you can be at peace with all men and all women and boys and girls. And again, our hearts and our minds need to be guarded so that we can have this peace. And again, it only comes from God as we rely upon His Word and His Spirit. Then that peace of God that passes all understanding will not only guard our hearts and our minds, but it will rule in our hearts, to which indeed we were called in one body. And then finally, and get this, to be thankful. Paul says we are to give thanks in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I don't know about you, and I've said this before, but I think we all need to be more thankful. And I don't know why it is. I've said it before, and Rick even said it this morning. I mean, in light of what God has done for us in Christ, and in light of what we just sang, how can we not be so thankful for what God has done for us and God continues to do in us? And then, I'm just like you more often than not. I'm just sitting there and I'm trying to think of something to come up with. We shouldn't have to think of something to come up with. It should just flow. You know, one of the things that God has showed me, and I try to write these down every day, is things that I am thankful for. Is in regards to the fact that I have a place in heaven for eternity that has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. That I have been rescued from His wrath to come. That I have a glorious hope of His glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That He has saved me, that He is sanctifying me, and that He disciplines me as He needs to. So many things we have to be thankful for. And so it's interesting that he ends this particular section anyways, although it'll continue, and Lord willing, we'll pick it up next week with verse 16, that we are called to be thankful. So what do we need to wear every day? Well, here it is. After you put on your clothes, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you should also. Above all these things, put on love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. We will fail to do all of these things. But that should never be an excuse for us not to do what God has asked us to do. Because through His Holy Spirit, who now lives within us, He now gives us the ability to be able to be Christ-like in this world. And so as a result of that, then we know how to give an account of the hope that lies within us. We also know what we're supposed to look like and how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to say, because it will not be us, it'll be the Spirit of Christ that will be speaking, that will be showing people who Christ is. So maybe one of the things we need to pray about, not only for ourselves, but that the likes of a Tim Howard, who now has an international spotlight, will live out what he has just said. But more importantly, even though we may not have an international spotlight, we have a local spotlight in our communities, in our families, in our church, to be Christ-like. And we have all of what we need to be that on our way home. Let's pray. Father, I admit that I fail miserably at times, perhaps in all of these. And yet, Father, You continue to love me. That's what grace is all about. And we will fail You, and we will fail each other in our families, with our friends, even in our church family. And yet You still love us in Christ. And yet, having said that, You desire that we would become more like Jesus. And so it is that I would pray, not only for each one here today or those that are listening to this message, but even for myself, that I would have a heart of compassion for the lost, as well as the needs of those within the church family. That I would also put on kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. That we all would bear with one another, forgive each other. If we have any complaints, go to the brother or sister, talk with them about it, and then forgive and forget. To put on love, which really gives us what we need for unity within the body, as well as perfection, completeness in the body of Christ. And that the peace of Christ would rule in our hearts, and that we would be thankful. May we be ever mindful of the fact that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us. And so may we not let the enemy take away our joy, take away our thankfulness, take away all of these things, and it would be easy to blame it on him when sometimes it's we ourselves that just do this selfishly and act prejudicially by not loving, by not forgiving, by being angry. And pray, Father, that again you would remind us that this is our old life. It has nothing to do with our new life in Christ. And so help us to put on Christ today in every way possible so that it would grow our love for each other in this church. It would grow our love for the lost in the world. And it would also grow our love for you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit. All to your praise, honor, and glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.